join us online as we stream. You can catch any of our services on Facebook, YouTube, or at www.rdci.info. We might not be able to gather in the building, but you can still get to church. Stream on Sundays at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesdays at 12 noon and 7 p.m. And ladies, catch Women's Bible Study on Facebook, Fridays at 12 noon. Thank you for listening to the Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. We'd love to have you at any of our three campuses. In Columbia, join us at 3506 Broad River Road. If you're in Orangeburg, meet us at 990 Willington Drive. In Florence, join us at 1507 West King Avenue. For more information, including service times, visit rdci.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast. Today, Bishop Herbert Bailey continues with Make Your Way.
All right, let's go to the Word of God. Joshua, the first chapter. Joshua 1, and let's go right directly to verse 8 as God speaks to Joshua. Joshua 1 and 8 and says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." From the latter part of that verse, we pulled out three words where it says, "Make thy way." We don't talk in Elizabethan English today, so instead of "thy," we say "your." We've entitled this, "Make Your Way." Look at someone, say, "Make your way." And so, again, reason why every time I read this scripture, it energizes me, it inspires me, it encourages me that we can make our way. People don't have to stop you. People don't have to hinder you. And if there's ever a time that people need to know, and I would even say, especially in this great time in America, even African Americans need to know that you can make your way. Racism with all its ugly heads is nothing new. Sexism is nothing new. All the other isms of oppression is nothing new. And yet there have been people throughout the ages who have either directly or indirectly known this scripture or knowing this concept that I can make my way if I'm willing to push. Come on, I can make my way. And the Bible tells us the way that we as Christians, as believers, make our way is by meditating on his word day and night, getting his word in us to not only inspire us, but to engage us and to help us. And here's his word I'm looking for, and to empower us. The word of God is an empowering agent through life. The word of God empowers us to be able to rise above the fray. The word of God empowers us to be able to break down barriers. Glory to God. One scripture says, "By thee, I can run through a troop and I can leap over walls." The word of God empowers us despite our impoverished backgrounds, despite our lack of education, despite not having the opportunities that everyone else has. The word of God enables us to be able to come out with victory. I so often say it, and it's a revelation that the Lord gave me because I never heard anybody else preach it. But when God told that Jacob thought he thought his life was, Esau, he thought his life was over. He thought he was doomed to failure. He thought he was doomed to poverty because his brother had swindled him and stolen his birthright. that the blessing of the firstborn, that he would have the double portion and prosper. And he thought it was all over when Jacob stole his birthright. And he said, and he said, after my father's dead, after we buried my father, it's the last time I'm going to get my brother. I'm going to kill him. I'm going to have revenge against him. And it was like 30 years that he initially, before he saw him again. But by the time that he saw him again, he wasn't angry with his brother anymore. His brother was scared of him. But he wasn't angry with Jacob anymore. And Jacob sends out all this stuff and all the cattle and all the sheep and all that. And say, hey, you can have this here. He even sent out his children he didn't like as much as the other ones. Send all them first and say, make them your servants. And Esau said, I don't need anything you have. I have enough. And why do he have enough? Because a word came to him right after his brother stole his birthright. He said, now, yeah, he's going to have certain advantages over you because that was spoken over him. He's born with a silver spoon in his mouth, as it were. He said, but you shall live by the sword. What is the sword? The word of God. He said, you live by the sword. And when thou hast gained the dominion, he didn't say if you gain the dominion. If you live by the sword, you can gain the dominion. Glory to God. Man, that excites me. That excites me for everybody to know that Democrats can't hold me back. Republicans can't hold me back. Liberals can't hold me back. Conservatives can't hold me back. Left can't hold me back. Right can't hold me back. The White House can't hold me back. Congress can't hold me back. The Supreme Court can't hold me back. I live by the sword. I meditate on this word day and night, and I make my way prosperous. Yeah, it's wonderful. It's wonderful to have opportunities and have people open up doors for you. It makes things a little easier. Okay? There are, you know, I used to have this thing about nepotism. You know, I don't want nobody thinking, you know, just because of nepotism. And I said, other folks, they ain't never concerned about, but Donald Trump wasn't worried about nepotism when he appointed Ivanka and all the rest of the people. Come on. He wasn't nobody. Well, the only reason why he's there, because that's my child. Yep. That's exactly why. Such that he refers to other people like Kamala Harris as unqualified. Are you all listening to me? Because nepotism simply means that, well, because of relationship, because what you already know in the person, doors are open for them. Can I tell you, that's scriptural. That's called favor. Come on, if you don't show favor to anybody else, you ought to show favor to your children. They shouldn't have to knock down doors that you can open up. Come on now. And some of us, we got to reshape our thinking about that, because some of us came from parents who struggled for everything. And they think, because I struggled, you're supposed to struggle. Nobody helped me with my education. Well, wouldn't you have liked it? Nobody helped me with no down payment for a house. But wouldn't it have been Louise? You couldn't have one before now. You couldn't have one maybe before you're 45. If somebody had helped you. So it's nothing wrong with doing that. But the truth of the matter is, all of us haven't had that opportunity. All of us don't have the relationships or even to be a beneficiary of nepotism. But I'm here to still tell you, you can make your way. Glory to God. You can make your way. Come on, say, I'm making my way. I'm making my way. So we've been telling you, you don't have to be stuck in whatever economic situation, whatever environment that you came out of or that you're in right now. You don't have to be stuck, because Psalm 42 reminds us that he brought me up and out of a horrible pit. God wants you up and he wants you out, and then he wants you to be established. Man, that's so much right there. Psalm 42, up, out, and established. Up, out, and established. When you're established, you don't have to worry about going back anymore. Up, out, and established. Amen. So that's what God wants to do. So you can make your way up, you can make your way out, you can make your way over, you can have victory. Number one, because God's promised to be with you along the way. He's not going to leave you by yourself. You can also make your way because God has promised to lead and direct you along the way. Amen. Let's pick back up here, Exodus 30 and verse 17. It says, it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines. That's Exodus 13 and 17. He could have taken them a short way. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. Verse 18 says, but God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. I'm here to let you know that God's even leading you through the rough places. See, sometimes we think because God's leading us, we're not going to experience rough places. The same David in Psalm 23 who said, he maketh me to lie, he leads me beside still waters, make me lie down in green pastures. The next thing he keep talking about, and yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. The same God, oh, this is so good. The same God of the green pastures, the same God of the still waters, is also the same God of the valley of the shadow of death. He's the same God. And just so I know it looks like it's the long way around, but he's leading you. I know it looks like there's no way out, but he's leading you. I know you think you don't have strength to keep going and to push out this baby because you've been through so much already and it's been so long. But at the right time, God's going to give you the strength. He's going to renew your strength. He'll cause you to mount up on wings as eagles. He'll cause you to run and not be weary. He'll cause you to walk and not faint. Let's move on this week. You can make it. You can make your way because God's going to has promised to talk to you along the way. Promised to talk to you along the way. You know, when Pastor Marsh and I, we take road trips. My road trips these days is about 3 hours. Okay. I used to drive 8 hours and 10 hours. Nah, I don't do that no more. If it's going to take that long, I'm jumping on a plane. Okay. But my road trips these days is about 3 hours. And the road trips, it just seems like a little shorter if I can keep this lady who's over to my right awake and talking. But that's not usually the case. My riding buddy is usually asleep along the way. It would be a little short if I just had somebody to talk to me. Y'all know what I'm talking about. If I just had somebody to talk to me along the way. Can I tell you, your trip with the Lord, it won't seem as long because he'll talk to you along the way. And we serve a God who neither sleeps nor slumbers. Come on, come on. Yay, when my wife forsake me, the Lord will be right there to talk me through. Hallelujah. I told you, see, so every now and then you got to run off the road a little bit, throw a little gravel up under the... And all of a sudden, wake up, you all right? Say, yeah, I'm all right. Then she goes, all right. You can make your way because God will talk to you along the way. An old hymn of the church said, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I'm his own. Glory to God. Isaiah 30, verse 20 and 21. It says, and though the Lord give you the bread of adversity. I'm going to go as far as I can here because I might get stuck here. This is the theme scripture for our church, for those you don't know, right direction. Isaiah 30, verse 20. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity, though the Lord allow you to go through some hard times and rough places and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner anymore. But thine eyes shall see thy teachers. Now look at this. You can't read verse 20 without verse 21. And as a result of your eyes seeing your teacher, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. God said, yes, you can go through some things in life that are hard, the bread of adversity and what the scripture refers to as the water of affliction. But God still says, even when you're in those situations, I will raise up somebody to teach you. To teach you how to make it through this great and terrible wilderness. To teach you how to make it through the rough places and the times of adversity and the waters of affliction, that it does not overtake you. God will cause your teachers to no longer be hidden, but your eyes will see your teachers. And as a result of you getting the teaching from your teacher, now your ears hear a word of direction. That you know, this is the way. walk in it, that you know how to make it out of poverty, that you know how to make it through a bad marriage, that you know how to make it through turbulent times with your teenage children, that you know how to make it through times of unemployment, that you know how to make it through shortage of the mortgage, that you know how to make it to come up, to come out and get established. Now notice here, it says that it's contingent in, based upon the scripture, before your ears going to hear the word, your eyes got to see the teacher. So the teacher, in this case, it showed the teaching come before the word. Because you know what? You don't even know, oh, this is so good. You don't even know how to judge what you hear without good teaching. You ever hear people say, you know, the Lord told me something, and you're like, because you've been taught, you know, that name, that God didn't say that. I met this woman and something in me just leaped. Like my heart felt, and I felt like I never felt before. And even though I've been married for 10 years, when I saw her, the Lord said, now that's your wife. You need to divorce this one. Now, how many of y'all know God didn't say that? See, you can't judge what you hear without good teaching. Teaching is a screening for what you hear. Not only what you hear from other people, but what you think you heard from God. Because God sounds like his word. Let me say it again. God sounds like his word. God often first speaks to us through a voice of authority in our life. Before I was called and I had an encounter with God as a child at the age of 12, but even before that, I kept hearing. I was being told by my spiritual mother, Mother Bailey, who I affectionately call Aunt Bertha, you called. And she reminded me whenever I wore shorts in the summer, you called. When I wore my Jordache jeans. Y'all don't know about Jordache jeans. Whew, Lord Jesus. My blood stopped circulating right now just saying it. Jordache jeans. Now I realize why they call them Jordache. Let me move on here, Lord Jesus. My mind sometimes. When I will do certain things, she said, you were called. Before I knew what called meant, before I had an encounter with God, she would say, you were called. So my first initial concept of even knowing that I was called came from a voice of spiritual authority in my life. Then God spoke to me and confirmed to me what he was saying to my spiritual mother. You called. It is possible for you to serve the Lord and not yet fully discern his voice. But if you're going to make your way, you're going to have to know when God is speaking, how God is speaking, and if God is speaking. Look at 1 Samuel 3. And we often talk about Samuel. Samuel is the prophet who the Lord said that God didn't let one word that he ever spoke or prophesied fall to the ground. Everything he spoke came to pass. And the Bible said that's how you can judge a true prophet. If it come to pass, it was God. If it didn't come to pass, it was him or just some bad pizza. 1 Samuel 3, verse 1. Samuel is committed to the Lord, devoted to the Lord, raised in the temple by Eli, the high priest. His mother had said, Lord, if you give him to him, I'm going to give him back to you. That's where we get the concept of part of the kind of dedicating to the Lord. But please, you can't bring him. If you bring him to church and give him to me, he's going to be left in the church by himself. So don't think you're going to bring your child to the church and give him to me. I done my part. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Just in case you said the Lord told me to do what he told Hannah to do. Okay. So he brings him, gives him to Eli to raise. 1 Samuel 3 and 1. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord. The what? The child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. So he's teaching him as a child how to minister at the altar before the things of God. And Eli is supervising him, directing him. He's still under supervision of the senior pastor, if you allow me to say. All right. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. The word, it was not prevailing. It was not everywhere. I mean, somebody heard God. I mean, it was like, what was that? Did God actually speak? Because Eli's eyes was dim, and they usually heard through the prophet, and Eli wasn't hearing God anymore. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days, and there was no open vision. Drop down to verse 4. That the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." And he ran to Eli. Who called Samuel? The Lord. Who did he run to? Eli. And he said, "Here am I, for thou callest me." And he said, "I call thee not. Lie down." And again he went and lay down. This happened 3 times. God's calling Samuel, but he thinks it's Eli. Because he does not yet know the voice of God. Drop down to verse 7. I'll continue here. 1 Samuel 3 and verse 7. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. Uh-oh, now I got to go deeper here. Y'all need to understand here. He's young, he's immature, but he's ministering before the Lord. He's doing the stuff at the church. But he doesn't know the Lord. He's doing the stuff at the church, but he doesn't know the voice of God. How many people are doing stuff at the church, but don't know the Lord? How many people are going through ministering, but don't know? When this is talking about knowing the Lord, it's talking about knowing his ways and knowing his voice, not knowing church procedure. We discover there's a lot of people who can talk good, who can live nothing. We discover there's a lot of people who can break it down and know the Greek, the Hebrew, and the Shebrew, but some kind of way can't get this word eternalized and operating in their own life, because they know church, they even know the letter, but they don't know the spirit. To know the Lord is to know his voice and know his ways. So God calls him 3 times and he thinks it's Eli. And the 3rd time Eli says, "Now what happened?" No, second, he said, "Now if it happened again," I remember, boy, one time, yeah, when I was young, the Lord used to talk to me. Yeah, if it happened again, say, "Lord, here am I. Here's your servant. Lord, I'll hear and I'll obey." He tells him how to respond, because he knew church. He knew procedure, but didn't know the voice of God. If you're going to make your way, you need to know God's voice. To know the Lord, said he was young. He ministered before the Lord, but he didn't know the Lord. To know the Lord, as I said, is to know his voice and know his ways. Now, there is a difference, because Psalms 103 in verse 7, it gives us a distinction between the children of Israel and Moses. It says, Psalm 103 and verse 7, "He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel." His ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. So the children of Israel saw what he did, but they didn't know why he did it. The children of Israel saw the after effects, but they weren't involved in the conversation with God before he was doing it, to no purpose. We don't just want to know the ways of God by after seeing what God has done or what has happened. We want to know, we want to know the voice of God. Romans 10:14, but now Romans 10 says, how can we know God's voice? How can we hear him? Your eyes will no longer, your teachers won't be in the corner anymore, but you'll see your teacher. Then you hear a word and will say, this is the way, walk in here. Come on, I'm weaving all this together for you here. Romans 10 verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? So God raises up a preacher or teacher so you can hear, so you can believe. God raises up a preacher so you can hear, so you can believe. You can't believe without hearing, and you can't hear without a preacher. So many times God will speak to you first through a voice of spiritual authority in your life. Because some of us, we're in ways, we're in situations that if you would just listen to some counsel and take heed to the word, you could be out. Or you could have been out by now. Or things would not have had to be this bad. But you keep saying, well, the Lord didn't tell me that. No bishop said that. But what the Lord told me is, okay, I'm coming for you. Before the Lord spoke to me about planting Right Direction Church International, then Right Direction Christian Center in Columbia, South Carolina, he first spoke through my uncle, Bishop Bailey. I had went to Maine. I went to Oklahoma. When I got ready to consider coming to South Carolina, and they were talking about transferring me here and giving me, he said, he's going to call me boy. He called me boy. Don't you get it twisted now. He said, boy, I could see you having a great church in South Carolina. I said, no, I ain't going there to start no church. No, we're going there for this job. He said, I could see the Lord really blessing you with a good ministry down there in South Carolina. So before the Lord spoke to me, spiritual authority spoke to me.
You need to know that you don't have to be stuck in whatever you think you're stuck in. You can make your way prosperous and have good success. In this series, Bishop Herbert Bailey shows us why and how we can make our way. To order this series, call 877-798-5433 or order online at www.rightdirection.info. Just ask for Make Your Way. If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereports@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.